What's up, people? It is Sunday, February 25th. My name is B. Hill, and this is the Just My Opinion podcast. Since the last podcast, there has been a lot of talk about the southern border and the invasion and influx in migrants coming to the border. A couple of thoughts on that situation. First thought is, because Republicans for the past couple of years have continued to promote the fact that the U.S. has open borders, which would basically mean that anyone could come across, to me, that would signal to migrants that if the borders are open, they're welcome to come. That's the first thought. That could be a possibility of why there's an increase at the border. Secondly, there was a group of MAGA Republicans that decided to go take the border back and caravan down to the border, only to find out there's no influx or crisis from what they have been told or led to believe. A lot of people were there at the border. It's not like they saw lines of people trying to get in and things of that nature. So it's just been a lot of fear-mongering by the right, making the crisis a lot worse than what it actually is. And that's typical. But of course, there needs to be something done at the border. And the crazy thing is, there has been an agreement reached between Democrats and Republicans to move on a border bill. It was a bipartisan bill Democrats and Republicans agreed on, and some extreme MAGA Republicans were told by Trump not to agree to the deal because that would give Biden a win during an election year. So he told them not to move forward with the deal because he needed that to campaign on. So instead of doing what's best for your constituents, as you go on to news program after news program, daily and weekly, complain about the border, you have a bipartisan bill, but you don't act on it because your orange guy told you not to. So obviously you're not doing the bidding of your constituents, you're doing the bidding of one person. So obviously it can't be that big of a deal for you if there's an opportunity to correct something and you choose not to. You're making it a political thing. So you can't say that we need border security and vote against a border bill that will help the security, and your own party got the majority of the things they wanted within the bill. So that's our government at work, playing partisan politics to please their master. And again, the group of supporters that went down to the border did not see the invasion as it had been portrayed in all of the fear-mongering. Next, Trump was ordered to pay, I think it ended up being over $400 million in the New York fraud case. And someone actually started a GoFundMe for this dude. And last I saw, it was close to $1 million raised, but he's unable to run his companies for the next 3 years out of New York. And my understanding is they did try to file an emergency motion to postpone some of those payouts, but it was denied, so we'll see what happens with that. Also, this dude held a fake union rally. He just paid people to hold up union signs at his rally, but then when some of those people were interviewed after the fact, they said they didn't belong to a union. So he's holding fake rallies with fake union workers. I mean, this dude is just, he'll go so low to lie and deceive, but nothing is surprising at this point. Also, he released some sneakers a week or so ago, and they're gold with the big T on the side. And the interesting thing is, a lot of older white Republican strategists say that this will help him connect to the black community because black people love their sneakers. And as bad as that is to say, and some might find it somewhat racist, as if we're not beyond materialistic things, but with that said, there are some fools out there that will go buy these sneakers and cap for Trump because he made some sneakers. So that is going to be a small portion of the black community. I don't doubt that at all. And we've already seen a couple of people order those $400 ugly-ass sneakers. And also, in a rally the other day or a campaign event, within the past couple of days, Trump said that black people like him because he's been indicted. And he's been mistreated just like black people have been. So if your connection to minorities is sneakers and the fact that you've been convicted of a crime, I have a problem with that. If that's what you think your most important connection to the black community is, that's just crazy. But again, that may work for some people. And you have people like Tim Scott, who's constantly on the campaign trail for Trump. And what irritates me about, especially black people who support him, when you ask questions, specific questions, they never answer the question. They try to pivot to whatever their talking point is going to be. And Tim Scott is a perfect example of that. Because I think the question was something about he voted to certify the election and was asked, did Mike Pence do the right thing? And he quickly said, yes, but, and pivoted to whatever his talking points were for the next election. And we just have to stop allowing them to do that, even with Trump. Trump is only going to do interviews with people he can bully. So they will not hold his feet to the fire and get him to answer a direct question because he is a master of the pivot and talk around. You give him a specific topic, he'll gloss over that and then go into one of his talking points that has nothing to do with the actual question. Also, for the Republicans, their key witness for the Hunter Biden scandal with Burisma was arrested by the FBI for lying to the FBI. So all of the information he provided to Republicans about Hunter Biden and Joe Biden's dealings with Burisma and the bribery scheme was false and was given to him by the Russians. So once again, Russians were involved in trying to collude to affect the election. Now they're trying to pivot and say, well, yeah, he may have been arrested by Biden's FBI, but the facts remain the same. The information he gave is still a fact. And no, none of these allegations have been proven. And this has been going on for a couple of years. And when they talk about how Democrats had the, I guess it's called the Steele dossier about Russian collusion with Trump, how, you know, that was false and Trump didn't get indicted for that. But a lot of other people did. There were plenty of indictments that came out because of that investigation. But in this particular investigation into the Biden family, not one person has been indicted. Zero. So again, just all smoke screens and everything is politics with these people. And you've never heard Biden say anything about it other than the question he's been asked. He hasn't gone after political operatives or opponents, but Trump has come out and said that he's going to go after the people that he's going to use the Department of Justice to go after his so-called enemies or enemies of the state or the deep state or whoever it may be. But, and we're seeing that with the case in Georgia. Fannie Willis, who's prosecuting Trump in the RICO case, her personal life has been brought into the forefront because she had a relationship with one of the co-counsels on the case. Now, is it appropriate? Who's to say? I mean, it's not my business. Now, if they were cheating, that's one thing, but it still has nothing to do with the case itself. But the judge has ruled that there was nothing inappropriate going on and that Fannie Willis can stay on the case. Now, apparently, after the fact, the Trump's co-defendant's attorneys has this long list of text messages that may prove that the relationship was going on before they say it. And if true, which would mean Fannie Willis and the other guy lied under oath. But also, if they had this during the trial, why wasn't it presented to where the person presenting these text messages could be cross-examined? I find that very shady, if that's the case, if these are real messages or not, and how would they obtain them? But someone's personal life like that, that has nothing to do with the case that they're prosecuting, shouldn't even come into play, in my opinion. But it's whoever goes against Trump or says anything negative against Trump, the attorneys will try to smear their character, just like they did with the judges. In the New York case, a lot of false information came out about the judge and one of his clerks. So that's just their pattern. They try to intimidate witnesses by putting their names out there, false allegations out in the public. And it is known that Trump supporters will go after these people relentlessly. Look at what happened with Shea Moss and Ruby Freeman in Georgia, the election workers. Their names were falsely put out, saying that they helped rig the election in Georgia with no actual proof at all. And Rudy Giuliani was ordered to pay millions to them for slander and all the misinformation. These people have gotten death threats because of this. So I'll just be glad when all of this nonsense is over. We never have to hear this dude's name again, because he has caused chaos for the past 7 or 8 years and continues to do so. And then in the state of Iowa, Republicans have introduced a bill that will lift the ban on felons running for the office of president. This does not apply to lower local races or state races, just office of the president. So basically they're doing this in case Trump's get convicted of a felony crime, he still can run for president. I've never seen one person have, well, in the United States, have such a chokehold over an entire party. This is how dictators are born, for stuff like this. In my opinion, with 91 pending cases, a lot of the felony cases, and at some point he's going to be convicted. This is the perfect time to move away from that dude and kind of get your party back, but I don't think they'll do it because he has such a huge base. They have fear of losing that base and losing those votes. And I guess power is just that important to them. So it's just craziness on that side of the aisle. And then looking at just some TikTok videos I've seen over the past few weeks, there's a video of a police officer in Florida. He ended up resigning after this incident, but he arrested an individual, had them in handcuffs in the back of his car. As he's returning to his car, an acorn falls on the hood of the car. he mistakenly took that acorn sound as gunshots. He dives on the ground, takes his guns out, and just started firing in the air at nothing. He gets on his radio saying, shots fired, and actually said that I'm hit over the sound of an acorn hitting his car. I mean, you talk about the ultimate overreaction. Again, he ended up resigning, but it was all on his body cam. This fool actually hit the ground, rolled, screamed shots fired, and said that he was actually hit from the sound of an acorn. And start firing in randomly in the air at nothing. And then in Louisiana, a woman took her car to a Kia dealership for some repairs and got a notice on her app that her door was unlocked and that the car was moving. So she actually tracked the car. I think they had her car for like 4 days. And whoever was working on her car drove over 200 miles in her car for the 4 days they were supposed to be repaired. And she actually tracked the car to the home of one of the repair workers. And she proved it was her car because she unlocked it from the app on her phone and you could see the lights blink. So when she went to the dealership to confront them about why would somebody be taking my car home and driving over 200 miles, you know, they apologized and said that this shouldn't have been done and tried to offer her $300 as compensation. And she said that's not acceptable. She wanted a whole new car. And her justification was she didn't know what this dude was doing over those 4 days and 200 miles. He could have been doing something, you know, bad, and now it's her car, her license plate, that somebody could be looking for. And I wholeheartedly understand that. It makes sense to me, because if somebody was trying to do something nefarious, they wouldn't have any repercussions because it's not their car, not their license plate. So I totally understand where she's coming from. Last I heard, that was the last update, just the offer of the $300 that she didn't accept. So I'm not sure if anything else happened. I would think there's been something after that, but as of right now, I haven't seen anything. And then there was a video of a lady. She posted a video of her daughter opening an American Express bill online. And at the bottom of the bill, it says pay it, to where you can click on and you can make a payment. And her daughter did not understand what pay it means. She thought it was already paid for. She said, well, when I swipe the card, that means it's paid for. And the mom tried to explain, yeah, the item that you were purchasing at the time was paid for, but you still have to pay the actual bill. And the daughter said that she thought the credit card was unlimited. And for me, this is bad parenting, because why would you not explain to your daughter prior to giving them an American Express card that has to be paid off monthly? Why would you not explain to them how credit works? This is just bad parenting, in my opinion. I'm very fortunate. My parents are very financially responsible. When I was younger and I lived at home, my parents gave me a car for graduation. And the first thing they said was, you got to get your own insurance. You got to pay for your own gas. So they gave me that responsibility at an early age. And at almost 50, the only thing I've ever had a co-signer on was my first apartment. My mom co-signed my first apartment, and after that, I did everything on my own. I've never had a co-signer, never asked for a co-signer, and I do not co-sign for anybody else either. You know, my parents taught me at a young age that you don't want anyone else to ruin your credit. And I've had people ask me to co-sign. One of my ex-girlfriends asked me to co-sign on the car, and my response immediately was no. I said, I will give you money to help you with your down payment, but I'm not co-signing anything. obviously you weren't responsible enough with your credit to where you need a cosigner. So you're not going to ruin my credit. If my credit is going to be bad, it's going to be my fault. Not anybody else's. I'm not going to be on the hook for anybody else's negligence. I'm just, you know. But this particular lady, I mean, it's just, it's sad that we have a lot of kids or young adults nowadays that don't understand just basic fundamentals. Again, your daughter didn't even understand the concept of having to pay for the actual American Express bill. And for her to say she thought it was unlimited is just ridiculous. You should never give anyone a credit card if they don't have a full understanding of what that means and how you have to pay the bill. Also, there's a pastor by the name of Kim Burrell. She is a horrible person. There are plenty of videos of her in churches making very rude comments. And the most recent thing was she was singing at a church. And she was singing in the light churches, what we call congregational song. And someone tried to sing with her or sing along with her. And she basically told them to be quiet, that it was a solo. And it's just the way she comes across. She comes across as very entitled. But she's had this attitude for a long time. I've never been a fan of hers. And I've actually seen her because she's been to the Dallas area and performed here multiple times. I know people that know her personally. They think somewhat highly of her, but just her actions that I've seen, I just think she's a horrible person and a horrible representation of a Christian, in my opinion. And then I was just scrolling through TikTok earlier and saw a video from a guy who, in my opinion, is race baiting. And what the video is, it's a white guy. He has a video from one of the ESPN shows where Shannon Sharp, Stephen A. Smith, and Ryan Clark was asked the question of, who would you pick in a one-game win or go home situation, Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady? And all of them said Patrick Mahomes because the justification is Patrick Mahomes can do the same thing Brady does and even more because Patrick Mahomes had the legs to do it. And this dude tried to say that it was a race thing because of the fact Brady does have 7 rings. And at this moment, I personally would say Brady is the GOAT at quarterback. 7 rings, very smart individual. And the thing I like about Brady is the fact that although he was not a mobile quarterback, he was smart. But in as of right now today, in a one-game win or go home, I would take Patrick Mahomes because at the end of the day, Patrick Mahomes does have some intangibles that Brady doesn't have, which is his legs. He can make the right throws. Mahomes plays the best when his back is against the wall. And if you look at Mahomes has 3 Super Bowls in 5 years. Brady has 7 Super Bowls in 23 years. At the pace that Mahomes is going, he'll end up with 9 or 10. Over Brady 7 if he were to play 23 years. So to me, it has nothing to do with race, but this guy was trying to make it a race thing because the black people pick the quarterback that's half black instead of looking at the facts. But at the end of the day, it's all opinion-based anyway. But I just felt like this dude made this point, and reading his comments, you know, everybody was saying, oh, well, when they played head-to-head, Brady won, I think, both games they played head-to-head. The question was not who would you take in a head-to-head matchup. The question was who would you take in a one-game win or go home. It didn't specifically say against each other. So I just thought it was a false narrative that this dude is putting out there, and he's trying to race bait. But that was my opinion of that particular video. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about is just people need to stop talking about stuff and just start doing stuff. I know someone who is in their early 60s, has never been on vacation, and all they do is talk about what they're going to do. They're retired. They have the financial means to do whatever they want, but they don't have any friends, don't go on vacation, but always talking about what they're going to do as if tomorrow is promised. And this person was talking about taking a trip. We had a conversation probably 2 months ago, and they were really hyped up about this trip. Oh, I'm going to go on this trip, and you know, I can't wait, and even if I have to go by myself, I really want to go. I asked her a couple of weeks ago about the trip, and oh well, so-and-so can't go for one reason or another, so it's going to be postponed to next year. And it's just like, I get so sick and tired of all of this constant talking year after year about what you're going to do and never do anything. And it's like, either put up or shut up. You know, life is not promised to us, and tomorrow is not promised. And it's like, you spent so much time talking about what you're going to do but haven't done anything. You haven't accomplished anything. I mean, well, I'll take that back. She hasn't accomplished anything, but it's like, as far as just living your life, you know, sit at home all day, every day. Don't go anywhere. Like I said, don't have any friends. We constantly talk about, I need to get out and do stuff. Well, just do it. Stop talking about it. Just do it. And especially at that age, you know, there's just so many different things you could be doing with your life instead of just sitting at home talking about it. Like right now, I am planning a trip for my birthday this year, and I'm currently looking at the Punta Cana in the Dominican Republic. And I was talking with a friend of mine the other day. His birthday is a week after mine, so we're trying to plan this again. The same person I went to Vegas with last year. But my thing is, I wanted to go somewhere this year that I've never been before. So I do have a couple of places on the list that I want to go to. And, you know, it's just doing it. You know, Vegas is always one of my favorite places to go. But I wanted to do something different. And we wanted to do something tropical. I'm not a huge beach person, but you know what? This is 50. I'll be 50 this year. And I want to do something really special, really fun, and brand new. So that's why I'm looking at a beach destination. So hopefully over the next couple of weeks I can get that. Well, I'll say over the next month or so we can get that solidified and get that booked. Because I'm looking forward to just living life, enjoying life, and just doing things that I haven't done before. I mean, we only get one life to live. We don't know when it's going to be over. So just enjoy while you can if you have the means to do so. And if you don't, just continue to do whatever makes you happy. Like, I have no problem. My brother, perfect example. My brother's kind of boring. He doesn't travel. He doesn't want to. But the thing is, he doesn't care. He doesn't talk about it. So if that's what he wants to do, I'm happy for him if that's what he's happy with. You know, as long as you're happy with your situation, I'm all for you. I'm with you. I'll support that. But for someone who talks about all the stuff that they want to do but never do anything, that's what I have an issue with. Moving to this week's verbal middle finger, it goes to comedian David Lucas. And David Lucas made a joke, or what he deemed was a joke, about how he would not have kneeled on George Floyd's neck. He would have shot him instead. And that rubbed a lot of, David Lucas is black, and the black people in the audience that rubbed them the wrong way. And they got up and left. And as they were leaving, he started making comments like, well, I'm a fan of Kyle Rittenhouse and things like that. He's kind of a shock comedian, and I've been familiar with him for a little while, but I noticed that he had moved to Austin area, and he's been hanging out with like a Tony Hedgecliff, Joe Rogan type crowd. So making that type of joke did not surprise me based on that crowd. And also in the audience that night when he made the joke, there were a lot of laughs from a lot of non-minorities. And as they saw the minorities getting upset and how he was making fun of the people getting upset, the laughter got even louder. So because he's trying to entertain that particular crowd. So to me, there are certain things that you should not joke about. And I'm a huge fan of Gary Owen. And Gary said something I totally disagree with. He was saying that, you know, comedians should say whatever they want to say. That part I agree with, but there are consequences to things you say. You know, Gary seems to feel like there shouldn't be anything off limits to a comedian. Now, he did say that there are certain things he wouldn't say. Like he would never say the N-word or anything like that, but you know, comedians have a right to say whatever they want. Nothing is off limits. And I disagree with that because I'll say, for instance, Gary Owen's child, one of his kids, got shot and killed. How would he feel if somebody made jokes about it? You know, I'm pretty sure that may be a sensitive topic to him, especially with his kids not talking to him right now after his divorce. But I just think the George Floyd thing, you can say whatever you want to say, but you shouldn't be immune from consequences. And personally, I do think there are some things that are off limits. I don't care if you're a comedian or not, because when I went to see Eddie Griffin in Vegas last year, worst show I've ever been to in my life. He was extremely racist, homophobic, and at the end he just said, you know, if you got offended, well, you know, it's just jokes. And I just disagree with that. You can't say that gay people should be shot and say it's a joke. You know, you can't hide behind saying everything is a joke. I just think there's some things that are inappropriate. So, David Lucas, I never support anything you do. You get the rebel middle finger. You know, you trying to pander to a crowd, knock yourself out. But to me, you sold your soul, and it's going to catch up with you. And the quote for this week is, we don't know what tomorrow will bring, so don't stay angry for too long. Learn to forgive. Love with all your heart. Don't worry about the people who don't like you. Enjoy the ones who love you. Thank you for listening. That's it for this week. God bless you.